I'm Ty Gibson. This is my good friend, David Asherick, and we are on an exciting journey through The Chosen television series and then engaging in conversation, theological conversation. I have to say that this has been my favorite episode yet, so strap in and get ready because this is truly amazing.
Joshua, how many more in the night?
Some 300, sir.
Where will you bury them?
Men are trying to dig a trench, but the ground is hard and rocky. With respect, Moses, my concern is not for the dead, but for the dying. Hundreds fall by the day, and for every serpent we kill, another 10 appear.
Maybe we should leave the bodies here, in this tent.
At the rate people are dying, there would not be enough room, even if we stacked them to the top.
Then we'll have to leave and find someplace else.
I'm not leaving anytime soon. Too many people are sick and cannot walk.
After today, the only Hebrews too sick to walk will be those who choose to remain so.
Is there medicine in that bronze? You told the people that you would ask God to forgive their rebellion, to heal their serpent wounds.
I did.
Then why are you hiding in a tent?
It wasn't my idea, Joshua.
That is a pagan symbol. You did not ask him if he was sure. Maybe you misunderstood him.
I've learned to do what he says without questioning. You remember what happened at Meribah.
Just to be sure, we could send a messenger to Ezion-Geb or beg for aid.
That pole. Hand me that pole.
The people will say it is a cruel joke.
Let them say that.
Help me understand. None of this makes any sense.
How do you explain the Red Sea? The manna in the coil? The pillar of fire? Joshua, any Israelite who looks upon this bronze serpent and believes in the power of Adonai will be healed. It's an act of faith, not reason. Faith.
Oh, child, come on.
Matthias, why are you here?
I'm escorting you.
Because you feel indebted for your promotion.
You're complaining about safely walking the streets?
I didn't help Quintus for you.
Oh, I know. You couldn't help yourself.
I spoke up because I was right.
You got lucky.
Luck doesn't exist.
So you knew Quintus would not kill you.
He was smart to go after the fishermen. But he must have been desperate to enlist Simon.
I don't buy it. You were terrified.
Guys, what if you were suddenly the only Roman in Capernaum?
I think I'd change clothes.
Exactly. When you realize that nobody else in the world cares what happens to you, you think only about yourself.
For a fool, your brain has taken you far. I admit it.
I thought so, too.
Praise Adonai, he is healthy and alive.
What are you talking about?
I received word from Jerusalem. Havela gave birth to a son. You are grandfather again.
So soon?
A month early, but all is well. Oh, blessed be he. We'll have the rest of our things sent.
No. My research here is not completed.
But we have to make it back in time for the bris. We have only 8 days, less than eight.
Circumcision can be performed by any number of people, Zohara.
Nico, this is your own grandson.
Fifth grandson. Havila will understand.
Do you know what people will say when they learn that the great Nicodemus missed his own grandson's name day because he was doing research in Capernaum, of all places?
Research that concerns not just one Jewish boy, but all of Israel, past, present, and future.
There is nothing in Capernaum but demoniacs and insolent schoolboys. Come to your senses.
I have never been closer to my senses.
That is not how it looks from the outside.
Many things are not.
I am ready to leave this place, Nico. I miss my children and my grandchildren, including the one I haven't even met yet.
Oh, Zohara, please. You can't just barge.
Oh, I believe I can.
Praetor Quintus.
Zohara, is it? Pleasure to see you again.
I trust all is well.
Why would you trust that?
Oh, yes, please, do make yourself at home.
We really will have to discuss the people's tithing.
This is why you've come?
I need to know if we have a problem, Nicodemus.
I have complied with every request Rome has made to my office, even when it infringed on custom.
Let me rephrase. You and I want the same thing. We want rules followed. We want order. Soldiers, money, votes, that's my world. Demons, prayers, oddballs, that's yours. I need to know if our worlds are on a collision course. The so-called miracle worker?
Jesus of Nazareth.
Don't even know what Nazareth is, but yes, him.
Anecdotes and rumors.
And a stampede in the eastern ghetto that delayed Herod's envoy. That really made me look bad. I hate that.
The unrest began when your soldiers waded into the crowd brandishing weapons.
It isn't an isolated event. I've heard reports. My source has an unwavering knack for accuracy and a compulsion for the truth. So again, I ask you, is there a problem?
No.
You don't seem sure. Maybe I could get better information from this Shmuel. He's very eager to see me.
The only way to learn this preacher's intentions is to speak with him directly.
So speak to him. I hate crowds. They take time and resources, and then cleanup is a pain. When you arrange a private meeting, I want to know when and where. Understand?
What troubles you about this man?
Preachers have a habit of becoming politicians. They sprout up like weeds and spread. You know, my wife is a gardener. She understands.
Some flora spread their seeds when trampled. Who's to say you wouldn't be creating a martyr?
I'll take my chances.
You sympathize with this preacher.
Will we be safe here?
What do you mean, safe?
They'll be looking for us because of what you said about forgiving sins.
Ah, we won't be here very long. After what happened yesterday, we'll keep moving from town to town.
Is that what you want?
What do you mean?
Roam about, not be able to stay in one place.
I want to do the will of my Father, and I want to spread the message of salvation. So yes, I am happy to not stay in one place.
Rabbi?
Yes, Dad?
I should prepare firewood for how many days?
Five, I think.
I thought you said that we wouldn't be here very long.
Leaving some for the next weary traveler. Hospitality isn't only for people who own homes, John.
Mary?
Are you all right?
Me? Yes, thank you. May I speak with you, Rabbi?
Yes, of course. Keep going.
I wanted to apologize for yesterday.
For what?
I was trying to help those people get closer to the sound of your voice. I had no idea they would open the roof and disrupt your teaching. I'm truly...
So you regret that a paralytic is enjoying his first full day on his own feet, huh?
No. Just that I caused the scene and cut short your teaching.
Who's to say it was cut short? With their faith, they would have found a way whether you brought them to the roof or not.
Oh, there's more. When we were leaving, a Pharisee stopped me and asked for a private meeting with you. I told him I would ask.
A Pharisee? Do you know this man?
He visited me before.
A Pharisee in the Red Quarter?
Rome sent him. I doubt he wanted to be there.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Well, I saw him again after I was better, and he wanted to know how I was healed. Of course, I didn't tell him who you were, but he seemed...
What?
Earnest. He wasn't offended to learn that someone else had succeeded where he had failed. That there was a... There's a hunger in his eyes, not fear.
Not like the Pharisees at the window yesterday, huh?
I am sorry to have brought all this on you.
No, no. No, there was a reason you met this Pharisee.
Nicodemus.
Nicodemus, of course. I've heard of him.
Don't know who is known and who is not. This is all new to me.
Don't worry about which men others think are important. Send word to Nicodemus. I will meet with him. Little James will know the location. Thank you, Mary.
Yes, teacher. Where are you going?
To be alone. I need to think. To pray.
I will pray also. That I did not put you in terrible danger.
You have not. In fact, I have made plans already for tomorrow night.
Plans?
Yes, spread the word. A dinner party in the northern district. A tall house just past the arch.
But that row of homes...
I know the kind of people who live there. Trust me.
Well, what about the others?
you.
Hello, Ima. Or Elisheva, I mean. Hello.
You.
I don't receive visitors myself. Is this a custom?
If your father were here, I couldn't do this.
Where is Alpheus?
I think a dog followed you.
He's with me. He'll stay out here if you let me in. Stay. Alpheus be home soon.
He's away. On a work trip.
Where will work take him? Does he no longer make leather goods?
His shop was robbed. Many of the shops have been. Crime is rampant, makes it very difficult to reopen.
He loved his shop.
But we still have a roof over our heads, which is more than some people can say.
You can ask me for money if you ever need it.
How can you say that?
It's quite common. I've seen many parents entirely dependent on...
Your father would sooner die than take your blood money.
I know you are ashamed of me, but your decision is irrational. Rome will continue to collect taxes no matter what. I'm skilled with numbers.
Did you come here to justify yourself?
No! Everything's like sand in a flood. The things I thought I knew to be true.
Are you in trouble?
Do you think that impossible things can happen? That overturn the laws of nature? That cannot be explained?
That is what people asked when you were a boy. Even the rabbis were astonished at your talent for reading, math, the way you could think faster than any other child. They thought you would be someone great.
Great at what? I'm rich. I have an armed escort. I'm trusted by the Praetor of Galilee.
We never dreamed you would use the talent God gave you to bleed your people dry.
But have you ever seen anything miraculous?
Not you.
My whole world. Everything I thought I knew. What if it's wrong?
I think you should go. You never even asked about your sister.
She looks well. I came to celebrate Shabbat a few weeks ago. Then I left. Goodbye, Ima.
Not sure this is a good idea.
Why not?
Oh, could be a trap. Nicodemus cooperates with Rome. They're the ones who sent him to Mary when she was possessed in the Red Quarter.
I am well acquainted with risks, Simon. So are you, if I remember our first meeting correctly.
Risk is his oldest friend, I'm afraid.
Simon, Mary is an excellent judge of character. She has known some of the worst kinds of men in this world. She finds him earnest. You should trust her instincts. And mine. Rabbi, I've got it.
Ah, let's take a look. Can you keep her quiet, please? No one needs to know him is sick.
I can't tell her not to cough, Simon.
I just don't want our burdens to become his, okay? I don't want to be the one to distract him.
He's made up his mind about you. He's not going to kick you out of the group.
It's perfect. Well done. Well, I think I can fit all of you in here with me, huh?
You won't be recognized in that.
Has the owner of the house given permission?
It's all arranged, Rabbi. And I'll be waiting at the door.
Thank you, Andrew. You go on ahead. But remember to relax. You are there to guide our guest, not to be my protector.
Are you sure you don't want me to come? The more eyes watching the streets for trouble, the better.
Not tonight, Simon. Stay here with your wife and your mother-in-law.
You see?
Welcome, Nicodemus. Don't be alarmed. He's waiting for you. I asked the owner of this house for more lanterns, but he said they would draw attention.
Yes, I imagine they would.
The human eye is drawn to light. We can't help it. It just happens.
There are many things we are drawn to without our thinking or our ability to explain why. Thank you for agreeing to meet.
Thank you for trying to help Mary when you did.
No help.
You were meant to be there.
Me? So I could fail miserably at an exorcism in the Red Quarter?
If you had not been there that day, would you be on this roof tonight?
I don't know where to start. I have so many questions.
Shall we sit first?
Oh, yes. Of course. Eastern slums. Many wandering preachers have succeeded in gathering crowds with their rhetoric and fiery tone.
I've heard a few of them over the years myself.
So you know the type. But I have never heard anyone tell a paralytic to get up and walk, much less it actually happened.
So what is your conclusion?
I believe you are not acting alone. No one can do these signs you do without having God in him. Only someone who has come from God.
And how is that belief going over in the synagogue? Which is why we are here at this hour. What else?
What have you come here to show us?
A kingdom.
That is what our rulers are worried about.
No, not that kind.
Then what?
A sort of kingdom that a person cannot see unless he is born again.
Born again?
Yes.
You mean like a new creature? A conversion from Gentile to Jewish?
No, no, that's not what I'm talking about.
Then what is born again? I hope you don't mean return to the womb, because that would be a problem for me. My mother, may she rest in peace, is dead.
Truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That part of you, that is what must be reborn to new life.
How can these things be?
A teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things.
I'm trying, Rabbi.
I know. I know. Do you hear this?
What?
Listen. What do you hear?
The wind.
How do you know it's the wind?
Because I can feel it. I hear its sound.
Do you know where it comes from?
No.
Do you know where it's going?
No.
That's what it is to be born again of the Spirit. The Spirit may work in a way that is a mystery to you. And while you cannot see the Spirit, you can recognize his effect.
Mind is consumed with thoughts of what a stir these words would cause among the teachers of the law.
Yes. And I do not expect otherwise. I speak of what I know and have seen, and it has not been received by the religious leaders.
It is hard to receive.
So if I have told you of earthly things, and you do not believe, how can I tell you heavenly things?
I believe your words. I just fear you may not have a chance to speak many more of them before you are silenced.
I have come to do more than speak words, Nicodemus.
More miracles?
Yes. But even more than that. Do you remember when the children of Israel complained against God and against Moses in the wilderness of Paran?
Yes. They wanted to return to Egypt, and they cursed the manna that God sent them.
And then?
They were bitten by serpents, and they were dying. But God made a way for them to be healed.
Moses lifted the bronze serpent in the desert, and people only needed to look at it. So will the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life.
Our people are not dying from snake bites. They're dying from taxation and oppression.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I did not come to deliver the people from Rome.
Then from what?
From sin. From spiritual death. God loves the world in this way, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
So this has nothing to do with Rome. It's all about sin.
God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, Nicodemus. He sent him to save it through him. It's as simple as Moses' serpent on the pole. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Have you ever heard anything like this before?
Shh. When I met Lilith, Mary, that day, I told my wife and my students she was beyond human aid. Only God could have healed her. And then I saw her healed. Here you are. The healer. My whole life I have wondered if I would see this day.
Follow me, and you'll see more.
Follow you?
Join me and my students. In 2 days' time, we leave Capernaum. Come see the kingdom I am bringing into this world.
But I can't.
You have a position in the Sanhedrin. You have family. You are getting advanced in years. I understand. But the invitation is still open.
The invitation to what exactly? Lead a nomadic life, to give up who I am.
It's true. There is a lot you would give up. But what you would gain is far greater and more lasting.
Is this another one of your born-again mysteries?
Maybe. I know mysteries aren't easy for a scholar. Think about it. Take your time.
On the morning of the fifth day, we leave, and we'll meet by the well in the southern quarter at dawn.
Is this Is the kingdom of God really coming?
What does your heart tell you?
My heart is swollen with fear and wonder. It can tell me nothing except that I am standing on holy ground. Holy roof, anyway.
I do hope you come with us, Nicodemus. What are you doing?
Kiss the sun, lest he be angry and you perish in the way.
Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
See the Parthian foot races last night? Darius ran like a gazelle.
Jews don't go to foot races.
Your old friend Simon himself used to run the wagering tables.
We're not friends. Next.
Okay, fine. So you did not go to the races. You stay home?
I went to see my mother.
That would put me out, too. She asked when you're going to give her grandchildren?
She didn't ask.
I thought your parents don't speak to you.
I had questions I couldn't ask anyone else.
A mother of a son with talent like yours should be proud.
She's ashamed that I could use the talent that God gave me against God. Next.
You're good at something. You found a way to make a living doing it. It's that simple.
Must be nice to live in a world so simply ordered.
We live in the same world, Matthew.
Next.
Besides, what else are you going to do with a mind like yours?
Matthew! Matthew, son of Alphaeus!
Yes?
Follow me.
Me?
Yes, you.
Whoa. What are you doing?
You want me to join you?
Keep moving, street preacher.
Do you have any idea what this guy's done? Do you even know him?
Yes.
Listen, I said to...
What are you doing? Where do you think you're going?
Guys, let me go.
Have you lost your mind? You have money. Quintus protects you. No Jew lives as good as you. You're gonna throw it all away.
Yes.
I don't get it.
You didn't get it when I chose you either.
But this is different. I'm not a tax collector.
Get used to different.
I'm glad we passed by your booth today, Matthew.
Yes.
Shall we? We have a celebration to prepare for.
You will regret this, Matthew.
What's the tablet for?
I grabbed it without thinking. You can put it back.
No, I'll keep it. You may yet find use for it.
Where are we going?
A dinner party.
I'm not welcome at dinner parties.
Well, that's not going to be a problem tonight. You're the host.
Hey there, I'm Dallas Jenkins, creator of The Chosen. Thank you so much for watching. You know, I'm standing on the set of season 2 of The Chosen right now. We intend to do 7 seasons of this show, and you can help us get there. If you want to know more, please check out the free Chosen app or go to thechosen.tv.
This episode is called Invitations, David, mm-hmm. and as I said, it's my favorite so far in the series, and I think the interaction between Jesus and Nicodemus is so well done.
Agree.
That you can feel the feelings that are being exchanged between them,
yeah.
the eye contact, yep. the words that are spoken, and the part that stood out to me as just astounding is that here is the rabbi of rabbis, Nicodemus.
Mm-hmm.
Who calls Jesus
rabbi. I picked up on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He calls Jesus his teacher, his rabbi. That is to say, he's seeing himself as in the position of a learner, a disciple, mm-hmm. a pupil under Jesus. Just absolutely astounding.
Yeah, I think the name too, Invitations, there's a number of invitations that take place in mm-hmm. this episode. It's obviously chosen for that purpose. And I'm with you. I don't know if this is my favorite episode overall. It's certainly one of my favorites, but this is my favorite scene so far.
Nicodemus?
The interaction between Jesus and Nicodemus, because yeah. I love the actor that plays Jesus. I love I love their acting. I don't know them personally, but I love the actor that's doing Nicodemus and Jesus, both of them. And I've been waiting for this interaction. It feels like yeah. we've been heading here almost yes. from episode 1, and when these, right. when these two... You know, both as the actors and then as the, you know, the characters, as we go back in imagination, mm-hmm. as they sit down together, you're hoping it's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's better than that.
And how they brought together the material from the Old Testament
yes.
and the New Testament was just astounding.
Agree.
So we're hoping that you guys are going to stay with us for the more in-depth discussion because, again, this is something that's happening between a teacher in Israel and the teacher of Israel himself, Jesus Christ. And so hang with us as we enter into our discussion.
All right, Ty, we've already said that this is your favorite episode. It's one of my favorite scenes in all of the episodes. That's the interaction between Jesus and Nicodemus. Right. But before we get to that, there's a couple scenes that I want to talk about at least briefly. First of all, the opening scene that sort of sets the tone for the whole episode is Moses crafting the bronze serpent. Right. Joshua's protesting. And this is setting us up, of course, for Jesus' words to Nicodemus, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up.
And this is theologically perplexing.
Correct.
Because as Joshua in that clip, in that scene, indicates, he says, this is a pagan symbol.
Right.
You know, the serpent is associated in Scripture with the fall of mankind.
Yep.
The first time we encounter the serpent in Scripture is in Genesis chapter 3. And there, the serpent is the medium through which the devil himself tempts humanity.
Yeah.
And the fall of humanity is precipitated by an interaction with the serpent. And then throughout Scripture, right, the serpent is a symbol for evil itself mm-hmm. and for yep. the fallen angel Lucifer. So how is it that suddenly out of nowhere, this serpent symbol is what you need to look at in order to be healed?
Correct.
So it is a little bit
wonky.
It's hard to wrap your mind theologically around what's happening.
It really has echoes of what the conversation that Nicodemus and Shmuel had in the episode before, that if God does something that's contrary to Torah, or apparently contrary to Torah, what do we do?
Yeah.
Do we say, no, get back in that book, get back in that box, God?
Right.
Because God telling Moses to make a graven image, well, there's a command that says don't make graven images.
Right.
And there's a command that says don't bow down to them, don't pay reverence to them, don't pay attention to them. God here tells Moses, put up this bronze serpent on a pole, look to it, and be... So it looked, at least on the sort of first blush, like it was a pagan invitation.
Yeah, let me
Joshua protests.
Can I take a stab at what I think it might mean theologically?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you're going to feel this or not, but I'll just say that when you look at Scripture, the Savior of the world comes into the world to save the world from sin, which we're about to encounter in our discussion here in the episode, right? And so there is this idea, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for example, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So you don't associate the word sin with the Savior, with Jesus, but only in the sense that he bears our sin. He saves us from our sin. So could it be that the serpent, which is a symbol of sin and evil and
rebellion,
could it be that the serpent being lifted up, or Christ being lifted up like the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, is a metaphoric, a symbolic way of saying that in Jesus Christ, evil will be drained of its power over you.
I really like that.
Because the language that is used by Joshua, well, by Moses to Joshua, is that the people will be healed of their serpent wounds. So the serpent is bad. It's wounding the people. It's hurting the people. And then the metaphor is flipped, and Jesus becomes the repository of evil. He bears it without participating in it.
Yeah, exactly correct. Yeah, that's the language of Isaiah 53 over and over again. Mm-hmm. He bore, he carried, the burden was placed upon him. Not that it was a part of him, certainly not a part of his actions or his attitude, but it was laid upon him on the cross. And so I think you're exactly right. The brazen serpent anticipates the arrival of Jesus and his bearing of our sin, which of course Moses would not have really understood. He would have understood it perhaps in symbols such as this one, and the sanctuary symbols, various symbols there, Joshua the same. But fast forward to this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, and there's so much that happens in this episode.
Yeah.
The episode, and maybe just quickly we'll just say, it sort of opens up with Matthew and he's getting ready. We see him leaving the house. He sees Gaius briefly. This is all a setup to let us know that the episode opens with Matthew and it's going to close with Matthew, and we'll come to that at the end. Mm-hmm. But the real meat in the sandwich here is this interaction, this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus.
Yeah. Back to Matthew for a moment, though, because Matthew is a very interesting figure in the entire episode.
Yeah.
And I just want to say briefly that I find his conversion to Christ
beautiful,
just absolutely stunning. I just was moved by the entire narrative of him waking up to who Jesus is and following before he even knows where he's following. Like, where are we going? I don't even know where we're going, but I'll follow you wherever you go.
You remember when he sits down with his mom? He goes to his house. Yeah. He tried to go earlier in the series. He couldn't bring himself to knock on the door, so he ate the meal with his dog. You remember that?
Yes.
Well, in this one, he goes, he knocks. Mom answers the door. Dad's not home, so she lets him in. And they have this conversation, and he has this great line where he asks his mom, "Do you believe that impossible things can happen?"
Because that's what he's witnessed.
Yeah, and I just love the fact that he's looking for someone to give answers, and he's cut off. He's estranged from everybody, except he's got this kind of quasi-friend in the centurion Gaius. So he's like, I got to talk to somebody, and the authority figure in his life is Mom.
Yeah.
And he goes back and he says, do you think impossible things can happen?
Uh-huh.
She's confused. He's also confused, but in a different way, and it's all setting up again how the episode's going
and
to end.
It's painful because she doesn't have an answer and her eyes flood with tears and she says, I think you should go. And she sends her son away.
And the dad's away. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So then we cut away and we see this sort of scene where their dinner preparations are taking place. Simon is discussing this meeting that's going to take place with Nicodemus. He said, I'm not sure this is a good idea. It could be a trap.
Yeah.
Jesus has this great line where he says, I'm well acquainted with risk. Because Simon, we've mentioned this before, he really sees himself as kind of the bodyguard figure here, which I think is fair.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair, there are intimations in the text of Scripture that Jesus sees himself, or Peter rather, sees himself in that role.
Yeah, and did you see the vote of confidence that Jesus gave to Mary speaking to Peter?
Jesus
said, listen, Peter, Mary has interacted with the worst men. She's a good judge of character.
That was smart.
Yeah, she says this is not a trap, that he's earnest. So on Mary's word, I'm going to meet with Nicodemus.
I can't tell you how much I love that. And I hope that the watchers of the program picked up on that subtlety.
Yeah.
That she has seen bad men. Bad men. She knows she's a good judge of character. And he uses that. You nailed it. The word earnest.
Yeah.
And so I love the idea here that Jesus moves forward, certainly at the request and at the providence of his father, but also in part at least at the wisdom and the insight that Mary has about Nicodemus.
Yeah, yeah. So let's take a look at a clip.
Okay.
And we think you're going to really see something here that we want to comment on. This is the first clip we have of the interaction between Nicodemus and Jesus. Take this in, you guys. It's phenomenal.
Truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh.
Watch this.
And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That part of you, that is what must be reborn to new life.
Mm. How can these things be?
A teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things.
I'm trying, Rabbi.
Ooh, there it is.
Yeah.
I know. Do you hear this?
What?
Listen. What do you hear?
The wind.
How do you know it's the wind?
Because I can feel it. I hear its sound.
Do you know where it comes from?
No.
Do you know where it's going?
No.
That's what it is to be born again.
This is profound.
The Spirit. The Spirit may work in a way that is a mystery to you. And while you cannot see the Spirit, you can recognize his effect.
Yes. I love the ease with which the man that's playing Nicodemus communicates the genuine incredulity, the astonishment, the curiosity. You can see the cogs turning. He's trying to understand. These are new ideas, new words. We read them, we're like, oh yeah, this is easy. Yeah. It's not easy for him in his context, in his culture, in his situation, and to think of the social courage and bravery that it took for him to set up this clandestine meeting. Mm. I love it. I love everything about it.
Yeah, bravery and also, you guys, humility.
Yes.
Because here is, as I mentioned before, here is the teacher of teachers in Israel, Nicodemus, and Jesus gives him that gentle rebuke.
Yes.
Oh, you're a teacher in Israel and you don't know these things, right?
I'm trying, Rabbi.
There's humility there that is revealed. And again, I just want to point out that we're aware of the fact that Dallas Jenkins and those who created this series utilized Desire of Ages by an author that we love and appreciate, Ellen White. And this is how she, in that book, frames Nicodemus as an earnest seeker for truth who's coming to Jesus not with an adversarial posture, but with the posture of a learner.
The desire to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I think that at least in my reading of Scripture and in my mind's eye, they capture this near perfectly.
Yeah.
Now we have a second clip. We could literally watch the whole interaction, but it's quite long. But let's watch the second clip now, again, of part of that interaction between Jesus and Nicodemus.
I have come to do more than speak words, Nicodemus.
More miracles?
Yes. But even more than that. Do you remember when the children of Israel complained against God and against Moses in the wilderness of Paran?
Yes. They wanted to return to Egypt and they cursed the manna that God sent them.
And then?
They were bitten by serpents. And they were dying.
But
God made a way for them to be healed.
Moses lifted the bronze serpent in the desert, and people only needed to look at it. So will the Son of Man be lifted up.
Wow. Mm.
So that whoever believes in him may have eternal life.
Our people are not dying from snake bites.
I love this.
They're dying from taxation and oppression.
I'm sorry to disappoint you. But I did not come to deliver the people from Rome.
Come and from on what? Now.
From sin. From spiritual death. God loves the world in this way. That he gave his only son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
So this has nothing to do with Rome? It's all about sin.
God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, Nicodemus. He sent him to save it through him.
Preach.
It's as simple as Moses' serpent on the pole. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned.
I love
this. This is amazing. Okay,
so good.
Okay,
so
first of all, David, I had a major epiphany when I watched this, insight that I've never seen before in the context of John chapter 3 and John 3:16, for God so loved the world, etc. Right? So this has nothing to do with Rome. You're not here to deliver us from Rome. That is, you're not here to favor us over another people group and attack them on our behalf. No, Nicodemus, God loves the world in this way.
Beautiful.
God loves the world in this way. He sent his son, his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Nicodemus is perplexed. So this has nothing to do with Rome. Nicodemus, I didn't come to condemn the world.
Rome. Brilliant.
So think about this.
That's amazing. That's a great insight.
Isn't it? Jesus, if he would have come into the world with aggression toward any people group, including Rome, the oppressors of Israel, he would have cut off the enormity of his influence that would take in the whole world in the proclamation of the gospel. So I've never heard John 3:16 and 17 in the context of the way they've constructed this conversation here. And this is really accurate theologically, because Paul, who's the theological practitioner of the teachings of Jesus, comes along and he says, there's two things going on in Jesus. He's here to save us from sin and from the division between people groups.
Amen.
Where there's in-group, out-group. Mm-hmm. It's for the whole world.
Beautiful. Now, I love what you're saying there, and this is great. This is a revelation, because, and we don't get this in this season, but I imagine in future seasons, you'll see in The Chosen, Jesus' interaction and affirmation, interaction with and affirmation of the Roman centurion.
Yes.
So Jesus here is clearly positioning himself not as against people, not as against a nation, but as against a principle.
Yes.
And that is the principle of sin, rebellion, and selfishness.
Which leads to division and hostility on the horizontal plane.
Yeah.
So the vertical plane, I'm here to save you from sin in relation to God.
Yes.
There's my relation to God, God's relation to me. But that always impacts the way I see and relate to others. And Jesus is addressing both levels of the human predicament.
One of the things that I really love in this, at the close of this conversation between the two of them, is he gives the follow me invitation. He literally says, follow me. And he sees that in the eyes of Nicodemus that he hesitates. And he says this. He says, follow me and come and see the kingdom I am bringing into this world.
Yeah.
And then Nicodemus hesitates. Jesus senses the hesitation and he says, I understand, but the invitation is open, which I love that posture. Mm-hmm. You know, too often in religious contexts and situations, we communicate a kind of burnt bridge. Yeah. You know, we burn the bridge. It's now or never. And if it's not today, then it's not going to happen. We do this evangelistically. We do it with people. We do it in friendships. But Jesus is like, okay, look, if it's not here right now, then the invitation is open. Mm. He senses the confusion that Nicodemus is in. And then this great line, he says, I know mysteries aren't easy for a scholar.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Nicodemus has that great line where he says, my heart is swollen with fear.
Yeah.
But I can tell I'm on holy ground. And then they have that little moment where they laugh and say, well, a holy roof.
Yeah.
Right. So now we could literally spend we could spend an hour talking about the interaction between Jesus and Nicodemus in John chapter 3. We could look at the biblical material. But this episode ends just as it began with Matthew putting on his finery, Matthew going to work, but the episode now ends with Matthew leaving work, not to go back to his home, but in a more permanent way, and we just have to take a look at that clip.
Mm-hmm.
It's you.
Next.
Besides, what else are you going to do with a mind like yours?
Perfect timing.
The music is great here.
He stops. Man, the tension in the air.
Yeah. I love the turn. The turn.
Yes?
Matthew, son of Alphaeus.
Well, that gets his attention.
Yes? Follow me.
Me?
Me?
Oh.
Yes, you.
The laugh is perfect there.
What are you doing?
Peter can't even process this.
Street preacher.
Do you have any idea what this guy's done? Do you even know him?
Yes.
Did you see that slight smile? Smile. Yeah. The little smile. Yeah, that was perfect. He just can't even imagine.
I said to you.
Gaius is like, what? What's going on here?
What are you doing? Where do you think you're going?
Gaius, let me go.
Speaking with holy authority to a centurion.
You have money. Quintus protects you. No Jew lives as good as you. You're going to throw it all away.
Yes.
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 Gives him the key. Gives him the ring.
I just love this so much.
One of the great lines in the whole series is coming up.
But this is different. I'm not a tax collector.
Get used to different.
Get used to different. Okay. That's one of the great lines in the whole series,
isn't it?
He says, how you calling this guy? He's like, I called you.
Yeah,
but this is different.
Yeah.
Get used to different.
I've gotten used to different. Woo! I've had to get used to different. You've had to get used to different. Jesus is
Nicodemus
so phenomenal.
In this episode is getting used to different. We've talked about the collision of the worlds, and this is a really good scene because you have a lot of the different worlds that are colliding here, and they're colliding in ways that don't make sense, even to Jesus' own disciples. Matthew can't make sense of it. Simon can't make sense of it. Gaius, the Roman centurion, can't make sense of it, but Jesus sees all of it, and he sees it perfectly. Yeah.
Listen, you may not be able to make sense of what's going on in your life, but track with Jesus, and he'll make sense of everything for you.
Amen.